Testament. We could go through the Old Testament beginning there in Genesis, and we could see the creation and read through the creation, and we could look at all of that and all the beauty that God created there in those 6 days, because when he got through, it says, and everything was good. So we see the goodness of creation, but then the devil come along and messed up everything as he tempted Eve. And of course, Eve, we know, related that to her husband, and then they partook of the fruit that was not supposed to be partaken of. But the thing about it is, we see in and through the whole Old Testament all the things of God, because in the Old Testament we see a verification of God as being the word to mankind, a word of encouragement, a word of life, a word of living. And in the process of life and living, God wanted man to understand that he desired more than anything else to have a relationship with them. And he tried to do it through religion, but to begin with, I guess we can use that term, and we can use it very loosely because that's what it is. But it was religion. It became religion because man tried to change what God had said and tried to put themselves in the picture, in the forefront before God. And that's exactly what happened in Judaism, as those religious leaders tried to put themselves in the forefront to make themselves look good, smell good, act good, whatever it is, the rest of it, before the people. And the thing about it was misrepresented, and God was misrepresented. But in the process of what John is relating here, he says, in the beginning was the Word. So what was the purpose of the Word? It was to reveal God to man. To reveal God to man, the Word spoken, the Word that we treasure, the Word that we hold dear, the Word that we say that is infallible, the Word that we hold and look at, and we know that it's truth because it depicts every aspect of God and the very character of God, every attribute of God we see in the Word. And therefore, the purpose of it is, if we look at the whole scope of the Word, is to reveal God to man. The occasion of his coming, John talks about this, and Paul said something about it in Galatians 4:4. It says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, made under the law to redeem those who were bound under the law, is a term that is used there. Bound under the law because the law had weighted, burdened them down, and God was going to send a word of encouragement to take away the burden. And that's exactly what he did. When Jesus came, he came for the purpose to seek and to save that which was lost, to take away the burden of sin, the guilt of sin, and to make mankind so that they could have that unique relationship and know who God really is. The setting is a light. John uses the term light here. He says in verse 5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Makes no difference how dark the darkness may be. Let me tell you something. It cannot dispense light. It cannot do away with light. And that's exactly the analogy that John drew here as he talked about the Word of God. It is a light shining in a dark world. Let me tell you something. When you have Jesus Christ in your heart and in your life, you may walk around where there's darkness, but there must be light if he's in your heart and life. Amen? When we recognize and understand that Jesus came as the light of the world, and he gave the promise to those who would respond to him, he says, you are the light. You are the salt of the earth. And we must understand and recognize what Jesus wants us to know beyond anything else is we are just to let his light shine through us. You can't make the light. You cannot manufacture light. But you can let your light so shine. In other words, it's already there. Just let it shine. That children's song, I like that. Jesus gave me a little light and told me to let it shine. Jesus gave me a little light and told me to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Here we see the Word of God, and the depiction of the Word of God is the term light is light. God brought light into the world, and in that light was the very fullness of who he was, because it expelled the darkness. When Jesus came on the scene, makes no difference how dark and dismal the world was at that time. And let me tell you something, makes no difference how dark and dismal things may be in your life right now. Just let Jesus shine. Just let Jesus shine. That's our problem. So many times as we do not allow that. But there are some conditions. Condition this. It says the world was in darkness. the world was in darkness. And what the world needs is some exposure to light. Exposure to light. Light and also life. In Him. In Him is the living Word of God. That's the term that is used here. The term for Word is the vibrant expression of who God is. He in the beginning was the Word, the Logos, the very essence, the very attributes, the very characteristics. Everything we see is in the Word we see in Jesus Christ. That's what Paul says. He was the very fullness, the fullest expression of who God is. And here John is saying and drawing that analogy as a portrait of the Word of God. The Word of God in Jesus Christ. In every aspect of His life, we see Him really living out for you and me the Word of God. The Word of God. But there's a second thing He talks about. He talks about also the Lamb of God in verse 29. Look at that with me. This is after, in verse 29 it says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The Lamb of God. This goes back to the Old Testament example and all the I guess you'd say, the religious system then, the ecclesiastical religious system that God had already given. But the term there in the Old Testament was the Lamb was slain as beginning in there in the Garden of Eden. That you remember that Adam and Eve tried to cover their sin with fig leaves, and I can just imagine the itch and the scratching time they had as they done that. But then God came along and it cost the blood of an animal, and the covering was made. But that's exactly what it was. It was just for a covering. It did not do away with sin. It did not bear sin, the burden of sin. It covered sin. And all the sacrificial system, that's exactly the picture that you get of that, because what it does, it speaks about the one who is going to come to take away, to not to cover, but to take away and remove the debt of sin and the penalty of sin. And that's exactly what Jesus did. They had the lamb that was grasped, and they took that lamb and they laid their sins in symbolic on that lamb, and then they slew that lamb. The thing about it was that slain lamb, the blood was there to make atonement. And the term atonement, you break it down, it's at one meant. That was to bring God and man together. That was what it was for. The whole sacrificial system was to bring in God and man back together, in agreement together. God had made a provision. God had made a way. And then in the process of the years, we know that it all got out of hand. Jesus went into the temple and he drove those money changers out, because that's what they were doing. They were using sacrificial system as a way and a means of profit for themselves, and therefore Jesus drew them and he says, "You've made my Father's house a den of thieves," and that's exactly what it was when Jesus came on the scene. So we see the sacrificial system had got out of hand. It was not there to make an atonement. Jesus did not come to make an atonement as a standard of bringing man to God, but God to man. And therefore, as we look at this very close, and there's a lot of scriptures we can read, we don't have time to go in Leviticus 16, it talks about it. In the New Testament, it talks about it. In Romans 3. In 1 John, it talks about this. But in the New Testament, we see that the purpose was the redeeming, bringing mankind, redeeming man to God. It opened the way of man to God. That's exactly what Jesus did. And that's the last thing that happened. When Jesus, the Bible says, as we just went through Easter and the Passover, it says when Jesus gave up the ghost, whenever he died on the cross, it says the veil of the temple was rent from where? From top to bottom. Not from bottom to top. Man didn't have anything to do with it. But from the top to the bottom, signifying now that God has opened up, if you please, the availability and the accessibility for man to come to God through what Jesus accomplished on the cross. That's why Jesus' death on the cross was so important for you and I, because what he did away with all those religious exercises. And Brother Abby, I got to thinking about that. I've been reading through the Old Testament. You know, I'm glad we don't have to do all that today. I mean, you just think about all the things that they had to do, all those animals that had to be killed, all the preparation that had to be made. But Jesus, whenever he came and he gave his life as a ransom for your sin and mine on the cross, when he became that Lamb of God that taketh away, and that's what John said here, taketh away the sin of the world, that sealed it every bit and put it all on him, because what he did, he gave his life fully, completely, totally, as a ransom for your sin and mine. And let me tell you something. It is only through Jesus that we can come and have fellowship with Almighty God. Paul talks about that in Romans. And when we understand what Jesus accomplished for us as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, he opened the way for man to come to God. He opened the very book of life, and because of what transpired when he gave his life on the cross and we come to him in surrender to him as Lord and Savior of life, our names are written down in the Lamb's book of life. Praise God. Turn to Revelation 21 just a minute. There's something you need to look at here. Man never looked at it before. The book of the Revelation. Y'all there yet? Chapter 20. Verse 11. 20 verse 11 says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books," plural, "were open. And another book," singular, "was open," which is the what? The book of life, singular. "And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the" what? "Books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which are in them, and death and hell delivered up the dead which are in them, and they were judged every man according to the works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So when we come to know Jesus Christ, according to the teaching of the Scripture, according to the fulfillment of all the prophecy, our names are written in the book of life. Those who just received Jesus Christ and were baptized, their names are written in the book of life. And that is the Lamb's book of life. Why is it the Lamb's book of life? It's because he gave his life so that your name could be there. And let me tell you something. One day, according to the book of Revelation, he's the only one that's going to be able to open that book. Why? It's his book, because our names are wrote there. Amen? When we recognize what the truth of God's word is, we recognize that he was the Lamb of God. As John says, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Let's just read on there from verse 29. Verse 30 says, "This is he of whom I said, after me cometh the man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. But he that sent me made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water." And John bare record, saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record." What is John saying there? He says, I didn't know him. Did not John know who Jesus really was as he came for baptism? No, he did not. He did not know who Jesus, the fulfillment of the prophecy of the Messiah, even though he was a forerunner. Maybe he didn't even recognize that. But let me tell you something. In the process of what God works out, we see that he was the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And then he made a statement there in verse 34. Look at it with me. It says, "And I saw and bear record that this is" what? "The Son of God." The third thing is the Son of God, reigning as God's amazing man. He came as a child, as a babe in Bethlehem, coming like any other man. But yet, He came as God Himself. He came virgin born, if you please. We need to understand and recognize if you take the virgin birth out of Jesus coming into the world, you've cut the heart out of the gospel, because the blood came from the male. And that, because of that factor, we see that blood that flows from Emmanuel's veins. We sang about that. And it's only through Emmanuel's veins of blood that can have the cleansing effect in your life and mine. Yes, He is the Son of God. But He also, in Mark's gospel, talked about Him as the Son of Man. How can He be both? Well, the Son of God came to bring man to God. The Son of God came to bring God to man. The Son of Man came to bring man to God. And let me tell you something. Without the both, the gospel is not complete, is it? And I think as you read through John, you see this, that He makes us recognize who the very Son of God is. Who the very Son of God is. Look in verse 15 to 16. It says, "And John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, This was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me." Look what it says in verse 16. "And of His fullness have we all received, and grace for grace." Yes, He was the Son of God. And let me tell you something, as the reigning, ruling Savior in your life, as the Son of God, He desires some things in your life. Did you know that? There are some definite things He desires in your life. He wants you to have power over temptation and sin. Did you know that? He wants you to have power over temptation and sin. But you know, our problem so many times is we try to do it in our own strength. By what we know or what we think or what we understand or what we've been told by someone else. But let me tell you something. You cannot have victory except by the way we sung a while ago, victory in Jesus. That is the only way you can have victory. You cannot bring it on yourself. You cannot manufacture it. You cannot work hard enough to obtain it. It is only through Jesus Christ. So He wants you, reigning as God's Son in your life, He wants you to have power over temptation and death. Why? Because He Himself had power over death, hell, grave, as well as sin. He wants you to recognize and understand that through Him and Him alone, can you know and recognize and understand what it means to live the Christian life, the Christian experience. Because, see, apart from Him, you cannot live it. Did you know there are many people today that are trying to live the Christian life apart from letting Jesus live it through them? That's true. There are many people, and you talk with them, they say, "Well, preacher, I'm still trying." I'm still trying. It ain't a trying. It's trusting. It is trusting Him. We need to recognize this fact, because, see, it is only through trusting Him and allowing Him to be Lord of our life that we can recognize the reigning power of who He really is. Yes, He's going to come back and He's going to reign this whole world one day. But He wants us to have victory in life and living now. That's what He said there in John 10:10. And I refer to that verse so many times, but it's true. It says, "The devil, the thief cometh but for to steal, to kill, to destroy." He says, "But I have come that you might have life." And that term is not just mere existence, not just getting by, not just a humdrum of life, but the term there is the very fullest of life, the term zoe out of the Greek New Testament. And the term there means the completeness, the ultimate fulfillment of all that life is to be. Let me tell you something. I don't know your heart, but from this day forward, you can come to know and to understand what it means to live the life that God would have you to live. Only through Jesus Christ. It is only through Him that we can know and have life. Yes, He is reigning. He wants to reign in your heart as God among man and with man. That's what the prophecy was there in Isaiah. That He shall come and it shall be, His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. We look at that and we read that very haphazardly, but that's what the term means there. God tabernacling with us, along with us. But there's something else. He also reigning. He's reigning now from man to God. He is our intercessor. Whenever we think about that term intercessor, what do we think of? We think about people as intercessors. Let me tell you something. Jesus is the greatest intercessor you have. Did you know that? Because He's pleading for you before the Father, your needs right now. Right now. your needs, our needs. I don't know my needs. I don't know what tomorrow holds. So I don't really know how to pray about things. I don't really understand how I need to pray. And sometimes I pray and I don't feel like my prayer goes no higher than the top of my head. You ever been there? Anybody ever been there and done that? Turn to Romans just a moment. Book of Romans. Anybody need this? It's coming apart. Bless God, it's kept me together, though. In Romans 8, verse 26, look at it with me. Jesus, when he left the world, in John's gospel, he talked about the intercessor, the Spirit would make intercession for us. And here's, look what it says. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our what? I didn't hear you. Your what? Infirmities. What is infirmities? What is infirmities? You know what they are? They are the negative things of life in a positive world. They're the negative things in your life and mine that maybe because of our own willful sin, maybe because of our ignorance, maybe because of just any reason, they're infirmities and they come along. Maybe it's because God's trying to correct us too as well. He does that, you know. He has the right to if you're his child. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought or should. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered or which we cannot speak, is another translation. So what does that say to us? At times when we don't know how to pray, and I've been there, and if you've been a child of God long, you've been there too. When we don't know how to pray and what to pray, thank God for the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God and the Spirit of God that lives in our heart and our life, because the Bible says that He makes intercession for us with groanings and utterances that reach the very heart of the Father. Are you with me? So we see Jesus as the Son of God, the reigning, ruling one. He is our intercessor. Yes, He is our mediator. The Bible tells us that He is at the right hand of the Father and He's making our petitions known to the Father. He will plead for us now, but He will plead for us later before the righteous judge as well. Thank God for that. You know, we don't have to plead our case. We don't have to plead our case before God because Jesus is our, as Paul talked about there in Acts, He is the one. He is the one on whom our sin debt was placed and He took care of it. And He's the one who is going to say, Father, He's one of mine. He came to me. He trusted me as Savior. He is your child today. He is your child today. And we can thank God for that. Amen. Because of what Jesus has made possible for us. And of His fullness have we all received grace for grace. Grace on top of grace. Grace piled on top of grace. Unmerited favor piled on top of unmerited favor. Why? Why? It's not because of anything we've done. I'll assure you of that. It's not anything that we could ever do either. But it's all because of what Jesus did. And He is the very essence of who God made possible for us as the Word of God, as the Lamb of God, as the Son of God to be our Savior. There's a song in the hymn book. It goes like this. Share His love. The love of God is broader than earth's vast expanse. 'Tis deeper and wider than the sea. Love reaches out to all to bring abundant life. For God so loved the world, His only Son He gave. Share His love by telling what the Lord has done for you. Share His love by sharing of your faith. And show the world that Jesus Christ is real today, every moment, every day. All those who have trusted in God's only Son and hold this precious treasure in their heart, seek ways to make it known to all who need to know that God so loved the world, His only Son He gave. We show the love of God each and every day we live. Reveal Christ's presence in our lives and how the Holy Spirit guides us day by day. For God so loved the world, His only Son He gave. Share His love by telling what the Lord has done for you. Share His love by sharing of your faith. And show the world that Jesus Christ is real to you every moment, every day. Yes, we have the right as a child of God to relate, to make known the very Word of God as we allow the Word of God to live through us, to reveal the Lamb of God and relate the message of the Lamb and why He came as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world and to show and to relate to the world the very Son of God as He lives through our lives and as we allow Him to live through our lives and as we trust Him more and more every day and as we learn, as Paul says, to walk by faith and not by sight. Did you catch that? To walk by faith and not by sight. I'm afraid so many times we're walking in the light of the things that we can see around us and not responding to God through simple childlike faith. Tonight, if you're here and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I would beg you if necessary that you cannot know what life and living is all about. You cannot know the Word of God. You can try to read it. I did for several years, tried to read it, couldn't understand it. You cannot know the Lamb of God. You cannot know the Son of God. You cannot know why Jesus came if you do not trust Him as Lord and Savior. Tonight, I would encourage you to do that. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for how You speak to us from Your Word. And we realize that from the beginning, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And the Word was made flesh in the person of Jesus Christ and dwelt among us so that we could catch a glimpse and know Your very heart. Father, tonight, the message from Your heart to our heart is that we come to know and to understand who Jesus Christ is, or we'll never know how to live and what life is all about. Father, tonight, if there's one here that's never trusted You, I pray that this would be the day and the hour that they say yes to You. Father, there might be others that need to come to this altar and just lay it all on the altar before You. Whatever their burden may be, whatever is bothering them, Lord, they come and just give it all to You. Lay it all down and trust You for what You're going to do and work in it. Whatever decision, Lord, needs to be made here tonight, would You have Your redemptive will accomplished is our prayer in the strong and powerful and saving name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And for His glory alone, amen.